Well, anyways, I just want to, are you ready with that video clip I sent you, Charlie?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, just a little something before we get into it. Well, we're reading from the most recognized, most well-known scripture in all of God's Word, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. We know that. We've heard that. We see that at football games. We see that in marches and in protests. We see that every which way. People have had it tattooed on their bodies. I don't recommend it, but I mean, I'd rather you tattoo it in your heart if you would. But John 3:16, we know that. Did you know it's a Christmas scripture? Absolutely it is. And my very favorite of all Christmas television broadcast. My very favorite in all of the history of TV is A Charlie Brown Christmas. That is the best one ever. I just love that story. And it should have failed. In fact, all predictions said it would be a flop. Back in 1965, they produced this short animation. It was the very first Peanuts cartoon on TV. It was Charles M. Schulz, and he had been writing these cartoons, syndicated cartoons, for a great long time. It was the biggest thing in cartoons. It was this animation. This Charlie Brown was a hit. God made that happen. You know, Charles Schulz was a Christian man. Was a Christian man and a good man, and it was very obvious in this production, A Charlie Brown Christmas. It should have been a flop. It was about a depressed kid. He was depressed, for goodness sake. They weren't writing cartoons about depressed children. He was depressed over the way Christmas had evolved, if you will. It had become so commercialized that he hated it. Remember the aluminum tree? Pong, pong. Linus knocks on it and says, boy, that really brings Christmas home, doesn't it? You know, not at all. And you remember Charlie Brown? He gets his Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Terry often brought home Charlie Brown Christmas trees when we were younger. I remember that, and we decorate them, and they were as lovely as Charlie's tree. He was a depressed boy. Even the soundtrack shouldn't have worked. The soundtrack was jazz, for goodness sake. Christmas jazz, and some of the music wasn't even Christmas music. It was, I mean, can you hear the songs in your head? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's not Christmas. That's just, it gets stuck there. And you remember it. And the ingredient that made it most unlikely to succeed? The gospel. Remember the part where Linus shares the gospel? That shouldn't have worked. In fact, all predictions from the producer to the network television said, this is going to flop. What have we done? Why did we let this Charles Schulz fellow have the reins of this thing? And what, I mean, this is going to be one and done. We're going to show it in 1965 and there will be no return. Ha! Boy, were they wrong. God's Word. God's Word was alive and active on that occasion. And I just want to share with you the true meaning of Christmas. If you dim the lights, John, that'd be so awesome.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
Make it big, number one.
Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Don't you love that?
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you.
Amen. Amen. I love that. Yes. To God be the glory. Amen. Jacob, would you grab me a glass of water, please, son? Ah, there you go. Praise the Lord. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever believes in him. John 3:16, I would suggest, sums up Christmas. It's like this. Perfect God gives the perfect gift out of his perfect love. Amen? What a gift was given. What a perfect, precious, priceless gift was given. God gave us Jesus because he loves us. But why did it have to be like that? You know, how could that possibly work? Kind of, it sort of reminds me of the predictions of the Charlie Brown Christmas special. That shouldn't have worked. It doesn't make sense. It's so unspectacular. A child, a baby in a manger, surrounded by livestock, born to a teenage mother before wedlock, born to folks in poverty, really, who had to travel to Bethlehem. No place for them, no money in their pockets, desperate. Shouldn't have worked. That didn't make sense either. But God. Amen, but God. Let's pray, Lord, that we would handle your word well. Your word says that we should be very careful in handling your word. Your word is light and life. And God, as you have appointed me a spokesperson, if you will, for your word as a pastor, as a preacher, God, I pray your anointing rest upon me all the more so. Holy Spirit, stir up in me the gifts that you have given me, that I would be able to proclaim this gospel truth, this Christmas miracle, this great joy in such a way that we would receive it well, that we would have ears to hear and hearts to receive and the will in us to live it out. We pray this in Jesus' spectacular name. We all said, amen. Oh, that's going to be good. Going to read John 3:16 again, because the why is in the word. Thank you. The why is in the word. We're going to go from 3:16 to 3:21. We're all very familiar with John 3:16. Of course, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as have been wrought in God. Praise the Lord. Jesus came to rescue us. Aren't you glad? He was on a rescue mission sent by Father God. Jesus came to rescue the world from divine condemnation. This is not satanic condemnation. This is divine condemnation. This is judgment, righteous judgment. We are condemned because of righteousness, because of justice, not because of Satan. Satan is also condemned. And all that follow him are condemned. God sent his Son to save us from just condemnation and wrath. The need for salvation implies that there is a real danger from which we need to be saved. And there is a real danger. As heaven is real, hell is real. As glory is real, so is wrath. As the blessing is real, so is the curse. Real danger. Those who do not know Christ Jesus as Lord are in real danger. Remember that when you speak to them. See that. That God would remind you. Holy Spirit would say, this one is in perilous danger. Real danger. This is not an idea. This is reality. The danger is sin and death, the devil. But the most serious danger of all is in the danger of the condemnation of God, separation from our Father. God does not want that. He wants for us to be reunited, restored, and returned. Just as the prodigal son's father looked for him daily, looking far away in the hope of seeing his son, so the Father wants to see us repent and return to him. He wants that so very much that he sent his son. If God in heaven said, who could I send? Who better than the Son of God to represent the wants of the Father? He did not send a servant or an angel or a messenger. He sent Jesus, his only begotten. That's a gift. To rescue us. If God is for us, and we sing this, if God is for us, then sin and death and the devil have no hold, have no authority. They will all fail. Sin will fail. Death will fail. Most certainly, Satan will fail. But if God is against us, or rather, if we are against God, then nothing can save us. We read in Hebrews, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. There it is. And again in Romans, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who has raised to life, is at the right hand of the Father and also interceding for us, saying, this is one of mine, Father. This is one of mine. He is covered. He's redeemed by my blood. That's what Jesus is doing. That's what he is saying. And it is in fact true. Christmas, the coming of Jesus, is God's way of being for us if we believe. If we believe. He who believes is not condemned, we read, but he who does not believe is condemned already. This is why Christ came. He came to rescue us from divine condemnation. This is the true meaning of Christmas. And Jesus came to redeem us. Mark 10:45. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The reason we need a ransom to be paid for us is that we have been sold, all mankind, all humanity, has been sold into sin and have been alienated from a holy God. When Jesus gave his life as a ransom, Our slave masters, sin and death and the devil, had to give up their claim on us. And please understand, Jesus did not pay it to Satan, as some would think. That is flawed. Satan has no authority. Jesus did not take the ransom to hell and say, I present the ransom, here you are. The ransom was paid to God, to judgment. Satan's not in charge here. He has no authority but that which is given by the Heavenly Father. Do you think that the one in the dungeon that guards that place is in charge? No, the king is in charge, not the one appointed to work the dungeon. The king is in authority. He is the judge and just judge. Satan is nothing. God is all. Please make sure you know that. The ransom was paid that we would be set free. And the result was that we can be adopted into the family of God. Paul puts it like this: when the time had fully come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. In other words, the ransom frees us to be part of God's family. We had run away and sold ourselves into slavery, but God has paid the ransom, redeeming us out of slavery, satisfying justice. I appeal to a just God. His justice is perfect, and his justice is satisfied through Christ Jesus. Since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death. He died, paid the ransom, and if we believe, he sets us free from the power of sin and death. This is why he came. He came to redeem us to himself. This is the true meaning of Christmas. And Jesus came to call us to repentance. In Luke 5, verse 31, Jesus said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Aren't you glad? He came to call you and me, for we are all sinners saved by grace. Thank you, Jesus. There needed to be a ransom paid, yes. And then there was the call. The call is based on the ransom. Jesus says he came to do both of these things. He's calling you this morning by his Holy Spirit. Say, come, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me. If we will repent of our sins, if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Amen? See, that's what happens when you read God's word. It just, there it is. It's there it is. You read one scripture and it reminds you of another, triggers another, it pops another out into your mind. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But if it's not in you, it can't come out of you. Get into the word. Christ took on human flesh, and he calls us to repentance. This is why Christ came. He came to call all of us sinners to repentance. If you will believe this morning, if you will repent, it's for you. This is the true meaning of Christmas. And Jesus came to restore the sight of the blind. He came to give sight to the morally blind, and we were all blind. We were all blind. In fact, we still see through a glass dimly, if you will. But he is opening our eyes. Holy Spirit is opening our eyes to see the sin in our life. I believe that before I was saved, I didn't even recognize sin. You know, people get upset about someone's foul language when they are unsaved. I have to remind them. And in fact, it's not easy to listen to if it's just strings of superlatives, if you will, of a blue nature. The thing is, that's their native language. They don't see it as sin. They do not feel any conviction over their behavior, over their words, over their thoughts. It's just, that is their nature. That is the sin nature of fallen man. That is the depravity of man. I mean, sure, we can have a sense of morality and say, that's probably wrong, and that's not right, and so on. And we know how to behave in certain circumstances. I mean, around certain people, I suppose they would just be one way, you know, and very rough talking, and around others, another way. You've seen that. They wouldn't talk like, I mean, you've even heard it said, would you talk like that in front of your mother? Maybe they would. Maybe mom taught them. I don't know. But they wouldn't talk like that in front of, say, the child's daycare. You know, maybe something like that. They would be a little more careful. They still have a sense of it. But until you come to Christ, until you get a sense and have your eyes opened, if you will, your spiritual eyes opened, you really don't know. You really can't have a right and righteous moral compass until you come to Christ. Isaiah 9 reads like this: the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Now this is figurative. This is a mighty light of God. This is the light that reveals, that shows the sin in our lives. Not so that we can feel condemned, for there is no condemnation, but so that we would begin a sense of conviction that will birth repentance. And repentance says, I did it this way. I'm not doing it this way anymore. I ought to do it another way, a better way. There's a better way, and the Holy Spirit has helped me and teaching me and showing me and giving me strength to live a better way and a right way. That's repentance, and that is the restoration of our sight that comes out of that. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see. I have come as light into the world, that whosoever believes in me might not remain in darkness. We are light ourselves. We are salt and light, the word says. And we are a light upon a hill, a city on a hill, if you will. We are a light to a nation of people who are in darkness even today. Maybe you're going to go and spend a Christmas day, Boxing Day, something like that, with family. And some of them dwell in darkness, in spiritual darkness. Bring the light. Be light bearers in love. If you have opportunity, and you will, God would not put you in those circumstances and not give you opportunity. And be so bold as to speak the loving truth to a lost world. He did not merely come to rescue, redeem, and to call. He also came to open our eyes so that we can see the light and walk in it. Yes, we were lost, we were bound in slavery, and we needed a ransom paid. But our problem is also a moral blindness, needing the gift of sight. We are simply blind to spiritual realities. As Judy has spoken on recently, and I also, that there is a warfare, there is a battle go on, a spiritual battle. We need to open our spiritual eyes to see it. It is crucial that we appreciate that. This is why Christ came, that we who have been blinded by the curse of sin may see. This is the true meaning of Christmas. And finally, Jesus came to give us eternal life. We remember that right from the start, right from the get-go in John 3:16. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. Aren't you glad for that? We are not born and then die. Ah, we are born. And then we are born again. Hallelujah. And then we shall not die. Though we have a physical death, our spiritual being does not die. Whether saved or not, there is an eternity. Oh, I choose heaven. I praise God for heaven. I thank the Lord that I will be reunited with family and friends that have gone before. And those who I leave behind when I go shall meet us as well. Praise God. That's heaven. And that's reality. This is not all there is, ladies and gentlemen. Life is short. It is fleeting. And it is rough. Often painful and sad. The longer you live, the more you lose. The more pain you will experience. The more love lost. But heaven, eternity, oh, praise God. What a day that'll be, amen? What a day that'll be. The first day of forever in heaven. I often say this at funerals, that imagine to take your last breath on this earth. And then you take your first breath in heaven and find it heavenly. What a thought to finally close our eyes the last time on earth. And then immediately to open them and behold, heavenly wonder. Beyond that which you can even imagine. Your first glimpse of heaven would be astounding. Praise the Lord. Imagine. Your last thought, your last word, your last hearing, and then your first one in heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. That is the eternity that will begin. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We do not sleep. Sleep is a metaphor for death. It is not asleep. You are not soul sleeping until Christ comes. It says to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Immediately, there we are. The heart monitor goes flat, and in heaven, it jumps. What a joy! And we are jolted into eternity, into life forever with our Lord. That's the eternity we are looking forward to. It is not figurative. It is not a metaphor. It's forever. It is to be taken literally. God goes to great lengths to describe heaven. For I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. It's not a figurative language. It is a place where Jesus is. And where we shall be. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is, not in a figurative heaven, any more than it is a figurative earth. It is a place, it is a reality, and it is a time after time. What a joy without end. Without end. Christmas means that God sent his Son so that if we believe, and we shall have eternal life. This is why Christ came. He came that we could have eternal life. This is the true meaning of Christmas. Jesus came into the world to reveal himself to us, to present himself to us, to show himself to us. It is the visible, historical, actual Jesus that we believe in. Not an idea, not a concept. God sent his Son, a real, live baby Jesus, who grew up, who took on flesh, who became man, so that man might become light Jesus. What a thing, what an idea. It worked. It's real, it's true, it's absolutely right and righteous and good, and it accomplished all that God intended. The Word always does. Praise the Lord. We believe in him. We believe in his life. We believe in his words. We believe in his death. We believe in his resurrection. For whosoever believes in him shall have all of those other things. You see, believing is everything. Believing is the hinge pin, if you will. Everything he came to do, depends on us believing in him. He came to rescue us from divine condemnation. He came to redeem us to himself. He came to call all of us sinners to repentance. He came that we who have been blinded by the curse of sin may see. Remember when you were saved? And when your eyes were opened? I do. It was like that. Sometimes it's gradual. Sometimes it's very immediate. Sometimes it's like Saul, who, being completely blind, and then he was directed to go, and he was prayed over, and immediately the scales fell away from his eyes, and he saw. He was blind, and then he could see. Sometimes it's like that other man that Jesus healed, at first, the fellow said, "Well, what do you see?" And the fellow said, "Well, I see as great trees and shadows and shapes, and then, but wait a moment more." And then he could see. Sometimes it's like that. No two are alike. But when your eyes are open, oh, the glory, the glory. It's not so that you will feel condemned. It's so that you would see sin for what it really is. It is curse. It is death. It is a slave master. But Jesus has set us free and has shown us the way. What a joy. He came that we could have eternal life. He came that we would believe in him. It's one thing to believe in a God that has never been into this world, but Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Jesus said, believe in me. And if you believe in me, you believe in the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. For the Father and I are one. That's why he came. So that we would have the gospel. So we would have messengers speaking after the life of Jesus that would pay witness and testify of having seen Jesus. And as they have testified, so we have heard from them. We have heard from eyewitnesses of Jesus, hundreds of eyewitnesses. And we believe also who have witnessed and have believed. It is when you believe, it's why you believe. You must believe. And when you do believe, I mean really believe in Jesus, you will only have just begun to open the windows of heaven and to receive all the gifts that Jesus has brought with him. Jesus is the perfect gift given out of the perfect love of a perfect Father. And when you open your gift, you will find hope and joy, and mercy, and forgiveness, and grace, love, comfort, purpose, reason, peace, contentment, calm, and courage, friendship, and fellowship, and family, strength, life, abundant life. What a gift. Amen? What a gift. This is why Christ came. He came that we would believe in him. This is the true meaning of Christmas. Let's bow our heads. Holy God, we thank you so much for your word. We hunger and thirst for righteousness in Christ. We thank you so much that you came to rescue us and redeem us and to call us to repentance, that we would receive sight, for we were blind, that we would have received into our mortal bodies, immortality, and eternity. We thank you that you came and we would believe in you, and that when you were raised up to heaven, you sent Holy Spirit. In fact, we ask Holy Spirit today to do the work of convicting us, to draw us all the more close to you, Lord, today and every day, and especially during this Christmas season. I pray, God, that we would be instruments to your glory, that we would be witnesses to your love, that we would be light to the lost, that this Christmas season we would have opportunity, and I know we will, unless we choose to be blind. I pray, Holy Spirit, open our eyes, that we would see opportunity, and we would take that opportunity to give you glory. If there be anyone this morning who, maybe for the first time, or even the first time in a long time, is saying, I, and it's crucial that I believe. And if they even struggle a little bit with belief, help their unbelief, Lord. It's okay to pray that way. Hallelujah. We ask that you would do this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If there is anyone here this morning who is thinking, yeah, this sounds right, this rings true, I needed to hear this, and I need to believe, and I pray that you will take time this Christmas season to have a conversation with Christ about this very thing. If you will, I promise you he will listen. That's what he came to do. He will not ignore you. If you search for him, you will find him. And if you invite him into your life, he will come in. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone should open that door and invite me in, I'm in. And I will sup with him. I will dine with him. I will fellowship with him, breaking bread together. This is what Jesus wants to do. Take that opportunity this Christmas season, you and God. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.